The Old Testament reading for our celebration of the Transfiguration of our Lord comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations.
Extol him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come to his courts.
The epistle reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, and much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you ever a little bit jealous of the disciples? Have you ever thought to yourself, man, It would have been great to be Peter or James or John. As you hear about the things that they did, the places they went, the teachings that they learned from the very mouth of Jesus. He walked with them. He talked with them. He told them they were his own. Jesus showed them amazing things, revealed things to them that are just mind-boggling. And when we read about these things, our sinful human nature starts to say, why couldn't that have been me? Why couldn't I have seen these things? Why couldn't I get to see these wonderful things in my life? Take the Transfiguration, for instance. What a beautiful display of Jesus' glory revealed in his earthly body. The glory of God shone in Jesus in this indescribable way. It's something that just really can't be put into words, and we see that in the three accounts in the Bible. Luke says that the appearance of Jesus' face was altered and his clothes became dazzling white. Mark says Jesus became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach him. Matthew says his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. What an amazing experience these three disciples were permitted to take part in. And wouldn't it have been great to be there ourselves? Don't you wish, even just a little bit, that you could have been on that mountain, stand next to Peter, and proclaim the same thing, "Master, it is good that we are here." Wouldn't it have been great to be on that mountaintop? Because the Transfiguration, it was a fantastic, phenomenal kind of event that only Peter, James, and John were allowed to witness. In that event, they got to see Jesus Christ in his heavenly glory. Probably not even his full heavenly glory, because no sinner could withstand that. But even just a glimpse of Christ's true glory, not shrouded by the physical limitations that he had put upon himself, it would be mind-boggling. It would be beyond something that you could even describe. It would be something you would remember forever. And in fact, they do talk about it later in their letters as well. I mean, all the while here, they had known Jesus. They knew that he was the Messiah, but now they can see it with their own eyes, no longer veiled and hidden, but seeing that he truly is God himself in the flesh standing before them. And they got to hear the prophets speak. Now, sometimes when we think of the disciples, we disconnect them from the Old Testament. But these were Jewish men of faith. And they knew the words of Moses and Elijah. They knew the history. They knew the things that these two brave, valiant prophets of God had done. And they knew that this was Moses and Elijah by the words that they spoke. They get to see the prophets Moses and Elijah and hear them speak with their own ears. These are the pillars of the Old Testament, and they're standing right in front of the disciples, speaking plainly in words that Peter, James, and John can understand and know. And after all of that, they hear the very voice of God the Father speak from heaven, speaking directly to them. Now, it was terrifying to be sure, and they fell on their faces in fear. But imagine what an honor that would have been to know that they had just heard the voice of God from heaven speaking to them, giving them a direct command and saying, "This is my son. Listen to him." Wouldn't it have been great if we could have been there? If we could have been able to partake in this amazing event, wouldn't it have been something to be Peter or James or John? Let's face it, we envy the disciples of many of the privileges that they had. That's our human nature. We want what others have. And so often we ask ourselves, why couldn't that have been me? Why couldn't I have been born at that time? Why couldn't I have been given that vision of glory? Why can't I see the amazing things that they did? Have you ever noticed, though, that we really only do that when we read about the glorious and victorious parts? Sure, it would have been great to be there on the Mount of Transfiguration or to take part in the healings and the miracles and the teachings. Think about the rest of the time. Do we really envy the beatings and imprisonments that the disciples receive? Do we really wish we could go through the same kind of emotional and spiritual torment that the disciples did while Jesus was being crucified? Do we really want to be persecuted and martyred like most of them were? Let's face it, people. The fact is, we've got it good. We don't have to live in that kind of fear. We don't have to face many of the things that they did. And I'm just speculating here, but I would imagine that given their druthers, the disciples would probably swap places with us in a heartbeat. I mean, think about it. We have the complete picture. And we have for our entire lives. We see how it all fits together, how the cross was not a defeat, but the ultimate victory. We don't have to sit around the table wondering, is Jesus really the Messiah? What are these things that he's speaking of? What does he mean, rise from the dead? We know it. We've got the whole story. We've got proof. We have seen him rise from the grave. We don't need to doubt and wonder because we know exactly what happened. Even with the transfiguration, I would imagine that Peter, James, and John went down the mountain asking themselves, so what in the world did we just see? What exactly happened up there? What does this have to do with us? But we today, we know that that glimpse of glory was to prepare them for the horrors of Jesus' betrayal and trial and execution. Moses and Elijah are talking to him about his departure that he was about to accomplish, which was his departure from the land of the living. He was about to die on the cross. And this was to show Peter, James, and John that he was God and all things were still in his hands. But at the time, they didn't know that. So while we might be envious of the disciples at times, the fact is, there's nothing to envy. Because while we may not have been standing on that Mount of Transfiguration, while our eyes may not have seen the radiance of Jesus Christ and Moses and Elijah firsthand, sitting here in church today in Loudoun, Iowa, we can say, just as Peter did, Master, it is good that we are here. It is good that we are in the church now, today, and for our entire lives. It is good to hear the prophets speak. Maybe not in the way that the three disciples did on the mountain, but every week we gather together and we hear the words of the prophets. And when we hear those words, we know that they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John were probably kind of awed at just being able to hear the words of Moses and Elijah because these were kind of like prophet rock stars, and to meet them face to face was phenomenal. But we know that every word they spoke pointed to the atonement that Jesus Christ was about to accomplish. Every word that was written by them in Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers and Deuteronomy, every word spoken by the prophet Elijah, every miracle performed by he and Moses, everything pointed to Jesus Christ and his work. And today, we hear Moses and Elijah just as clearly as the disciples did, if not even more clearly, because we have seen the full story. We can gather together time and time again, too, not just once. How many times do you think Peter, James, and John said, wouldn't it be great if we could see that again? If we could go back and see Moses and Elijah? How many times do we say, wouldn't it be great if we could have church more often? to hear the prophets speak to us again. It is good to hear the very word of God here today and always. Again, maybe not in exactly the same way. Maybe not in a booming voice from heaven as a cloud enshrouds us. But we do hear God's word every time we open the Bible. Every time we gather together as Christians in this congregation, everything we do in this service is rooted and dripping with the Word of God. Every time we gather together at home for family devotions, for reading the Bible on our own, we are able to hear the Word of God proclaiming, "Listen to my Son Jesus." We hear God speak forgiveness through the absolution. As week after week, he comes to us sinners and says, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And it's a privilege even greater than the disciples had that day, the way that we hear the Word of God. When they heard God speak, they fell on their faces in fear. When we hear God speak, we don't have to respond with such terror, because again, we know the full story. We know how everything played out. They were told not to tell anyone about what they had seen until after the resurrection. We can share the good news of Jesus with all people at all times, in what we do, in what we say, telling everybody that Jesus is the Son of God who died to take away their sins and rose again to give them eternal life. And we can do it with great joy and boldness, even in a world that doesn't want to hear it. It is good to hear the word of the Lord. And it is good for us that we can see the glory of Jesus Christ. Again, maybe not in the same way as they did at the Transfiguration. In fact, definitely not. Because Jesus is not with us in a bodily form anymore. And so we can't expect another transfiguration. But we see the fulfilled glory of Jesus, where they saw just the preview. We see him hanging upon the cross. Which people look at that and they say, "How is that glorious? It's shameful, it's defeat, it's his death." But it's his death for us. It is his glorious love displayed in full as he willingly laid down his life to die so that we don't suffer the pains of hell for all eternity. And we see him resurrected, risen again from the grave, and the promise that he will come again to take us to be with him. But we don't have to wait until then to see his glory, because even in our lives, we see Christ's full glory each and every day. Today we come to this altar, not to receive a memorial meal, not to receive a reminder of what Jesus once did for us, but to receive by our mouths the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. The same body and blood that suffered, died, and was buried, that rose again on the third day. The same body and blood that Peter, James, and John saw transfigured upon the mountain. Jesus, by his almighty power, comes to us in the flesh, in full glory, that we can be partakers of his sacrifice and receive the full forgiveness that he won for us there at the cross. And each and every day, the glory of Jesus is with us. By his word, by the fellowship of the saints, by his almighty hand leading us, guiding us, and protecting us every day of our lives, and by the peace that comes from God alone, knowing that even though we are sinners, we are forgiven by his glory, by his love and mercy, by his actions. We are given peace that this world cannot give. And it is a peace that we are called to share with others, that others too would know the forgiveness, the certainty that we have of eternal life in heaven. Not because we're so good, not because of what we've seen, but because of what God has done for us. Every day of our Christian life is a blessing from God, and every day is filled to the full with his grace. We might jealously think that the disciples had it better than we do, that somehow they got more blessings than we did. But the fact is, God's glory fills our lives constantly. God has forgiven us of our sin, and there is no greater blessing, no greater glory, no greater treasure than that. God has promised us everlasting life, so that we will, with our own eyes, see the full glory of Jesus Christ in that eternal paradise of heaven that he has won for us, prepared for us, and will come again to take us to. And through his word, God pours out into our hearts and our lives blessing upon blessing of faith and love and forgiveness. What a joy it is as we sit here in God's presence, hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of his prophets, and seeing his glory. What a blessing to know that it's not just here within these walls, and not just once in a while. By the grace of God, we see that glory of Jesus every minute in our Christian lives. It is with grateful hearts, then, that we continually proclaim, no matter where we might be, Master, it is good that we are here. Because here, no matter where here might be, we receive the good news of Jesus Christ. That by his cross alone, by his resurrection alone, by his glory and heavenly grace, you are forgiven of all of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.